It's hard to believe, but it was just over a month ago that we celebrated Easter. But of course, Easter isn't the end of the story of Christ's impact. In many ways, it's just the beginning. As we've been hearing over these last few weeks in our series, Christ is Still Teaching, we've explored what happened next after Easter. Christ's commissioning to us to continue his ministry, his work of love, long after he's gone. Christ is still teaching us, coaching us, commissioning us. And today we'll look at some of Jesus' last words to us from the Gospel of John. Listen again to the Word of God. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be with you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You're my friends when you do what I command you. So I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I've made known everything to you that I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, and may the seed of your love be planted in our hearts, that our lives may be fruit for this world. In Christ we pray. Amen. Of everything that Jesus said when he walked on this earth before he was crucified, when he walked on this earth after he was raised, of all of the things that Jesus said, it really boils down to this: love one another. Love one another. It sounds so simple, right? But of all days, on Mother's Day, let's not pretend that love is ever simple, that love is ever boilerplate, that love is ever one size fits all. Recently, my sister shared a blog post by Amy Young that captures how complex motherly love is. I want to share it with you, and as I share it, I invite you to appreciate the particular forms of motherly love that women in your own life, maybe even you yourself, have been called to express. So to those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. And to those who lost a child, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches every day with little ones and wear badges of food stains, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, failed adoptions, or running away, we mourn with you. To those who walk that hard path of infertility, Fraught with pokes, prods, tears, and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make this harder than it is. To those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have warm and close relationships with your children, we celebrate with you. And to those who have disappointment, heartache, distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers this year, we grieve with you. To those who lived through driving tests, medical tests, and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. And to those who are single and long to be married and mothering their own children, we mourn that life has not turned out the way you longed for it to be. To those of you who step parent, we walk with you in these complex paths. To those who envisioned lavishing love on grandchildren, but that dream is not to be, we grieve with you. To those who have emptying nests in the coming year, we grieve and rejoice with you. To those who have placed children up for adoption, we commend you for your selflessness and remember how you hold that child in your heart still. And to those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and surprising, we anticipate with you. This Mother's Day, wherever you are, we walk with you. Mothering is not for the faint of heart, and we have real warriors in our midst. We remember you. Motherhood is not for the faint of heart. It is complicated. It is demanding. It is particular. It is filled with joy and also often filled with sorrow. And this kind of love, brave, complicated, demanding, particular, this kind of love is what Jesus calls us all to do. So what does it mean for us to love in this way? And where exactly do we start? Well, often, obviously, love begins with a feeling of empathy or compassion. Our hearts are softened and opened to one another. And we all know that feeling, don't we? When we fall in love for the first time, or we hold a newborn baby, and our hearts melt in ways that we could never have imagined. Or when a close friend tells us that they have cancer, or that their marriage is breaking apart, and our heart goes out to them. We know that softening, don't we? We can even have that feeling when we watch the news and we see broken buildings and broken lives in Nepal, half a world away, or another tragic shooting on the south side of Chicago. Love often starts with that kind of a feeling when our hearts are softened and they open unbidden in care for another, someone close or someone whom we may not even know. But if all we do is feel love, if all we do is feel love and then it ends there, then we've missed the point, haven't we? There are other components to real love, sturdy love, including our ambitions, including our actions. Isn't our ambition what St. Paul was getting at in the familiar words of 1 Corinthians 13? So familiar, love is patient, love is kind, that it's easy to forget how crucial these aspirations are. Even deeply spiritual, pious people can be misguided, Paul reminds us. Just before this chapter, he tells the Corinthians, look, if you're competing with one another for a prophecy, you've missed the point. And if you're competing with one another for knowledge or speaking in tongues, then you haven't gotten this stuff. He says, essentially, if we're heading after the Christian equivalent of Buddhist nirvana, but we don't have love, then we have lost our aspiration. If we're driving towards having the wisdom of Plato or the highest laws of physics or economics and we don't have love, then we're toast. If we're seeking the highest paying job or the most prestigious seat on the board or the most extravagant vacation, we have to watch out, Paul tells us, because we are likeliest then to miss the still more excellent way. Our aspirations matter. Our dreams and hopes matter. They shape our lives, and whether or not we know it, they shape the people around us too. This came home to me vividly on Wednesday night when I had the privilege of hearing columnist David Brooks. He was discussing his wonderful new book, The Road to Character, when he cited a Harvard study of 10,000 junior high children who were asked this question. Do your parents care more about your grades or whether you are kind? Guess what the answer was? 80% of the kids said, my parents care more about my grades. Our ambitions matter. Our aspirations count. And the easiest way that we can take a clear-eyed look at our ambitions is by taking an equally clear-eyed look at our actions. One psychologist put it this way, how can I know who I am until I see what I do? How can I know what I value until I see where I walk? So briefly, let's just take a look at how our actions manifest the kind of love that Christ desires for us and for our children and for our children's children. Paul says it this way. Love is patient, especially when we're ready to blow a gasket with our demanding client or our sassy child. Love is kind, not just generally, but especially when we're aggravated with an ignorant boss or frustrated with our parents' rigid demands. Love is not envious or boastful, especially when our kids are competing for the same award or we compare ourselves with the picture-perfect family next door. Love is not arrogant or rude, particularly when we're frustrated by the driver in front of us or we forget that the caddy at the golf club may be wiser than we are. Love, real love, is not ever just a feeling we have, but it's a choice we make in our aspirations and in our actions because we want to follow the way of Jesus Christ. Today on Mother's Day, I invite us to celebrate the work of love, not the Hallmark card variety, not the sweetness and light imagination of love, but real love. Love that's not for the faint of heart. Love that's complicated. Love that's demanding. Love that is filled with joy and with sorrow. Love that is the kind of love Jesus asks us to do. God's love, Christ tells us, is manifest in all of us, in our feelings, in our aspirations, in our actions. So let's commit ourselves to it again, to nurture those in our own path, to provide both freedom and a safety net, to remind the vulnerable that they are beloved children of God, to urge acts of kindness and a life of trust in that which really matters, in the only thing that really matters, the kind of love God shares with us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.